Shouts out the one in stripes. Yeah, Mike Davis, the Indiana coach that followed Bobby Knight. That's who we're talking about.
Well, yeah, their current coach is Mike Woodson.
Mike Woodson, yeah. Talking about their offense. May said, it kind of goes back to what we learn through teaching it. Your eyes take in information. Your eyes then give that information to your brain, and your brain decides what to do with it. So if you're going to run
the
ball.
Wow, that's deep, man. I mean, you talk about some next level stuff.
That's like see ball, hit ball for our baseball team, which we need to simplify that approach.
I mean, eyes see.
Brain.
Give the brain the information and then tell it. Wow.
The brain decides what to do with it. So if you're going to run a ball screen, we never felt like we had great spot-up shooters where you could just space and make the decisions early. So we felt like we had pretty good shooters who were also pretty good drivers, and they were pretty good cutters. And so we wanted the defender's eyes and balance not to be focused on the ball screen. Our whole offense philosophy is if you see space, then attack space. And if you don't see space, then we have to create space. So if a guy drives into bad space and we stop and say, what do you see? I just drove into terrible space. If I drive and there's another defender's chest, it's an automatic pass to the open guy and then play.
Then play.
This is how good shot selection happens. The Owls rank 19th nationally in effective field goal percentage. Look like a group that's been together multiple years and how they play off each other.
I got a little bit of a problem with Dusty May.
Yeah?
Do you know that they did not go back to Boca after they won their round of 32 game? They went straight to New York. These boys haven't been in class for like 2 weeks.
Sad.
Is it their spring break?
No. They took a commercial flight from Columbus to New York on Sunday. They've been in New York since Sunday.
Can't you just do class online these days?
That's what he did. They talked about someone asked him, what was it like going back to campus after making the Sweet 16? He said, well, we've only seen it through social media and videos online. He said he gave him, they gave him all day Sunday off to explore the city. And then they attacked Tennessee preparation at 10 p.m. with 100% focus.
Attacked it at 10 p.m.? Wow. The players or the coaches?
I don't know.
It's got to be the coaches.
Yeah.
He said, we would have only been back on campus for a day. It would have been really tough to travel. But they did make sure to send the band and all the staff home. Not like their coaches, but like all the support staff and stuff. Sent them home for a day. He said, there would have been too many distractions if you've been to our campus.
Okay.
Wow.
Wow. Okay.
Jeez, man. Maybe have your players have some self-control.
Seriously. Too many distractions.
Blame it on the distractions.
Uh-huh. To the phone lines we go.
Wow.
We got Matt up first today. What's up, Matt? You're on 3 and Out.
Morning, boys.
Morning. Only, let's see here, we're 12 hours and 52 minutes away.
I feel a lot more hype and energy this morning than I did yesterday morning towards this game.
Good. Makes one of us.
Feeling pretty good. Mm. Were you guys not feeling it?
No, I'm feeling it. I'm pacing myself. It's so long.
Yeah, it's 7 a.m. It's hard to.
Such a long 8 wait.
It is. It is. You guys were talking a little while ago about Kamwa. Do you think that since he had such a good game last game, and Nate, you said they're not going to play any zone, you think if he's playing out on the perimeter more, that's going to open it up down low for those guys like a do and them to score more? Because they're going to have to guard him on the three a little bit more uptight than they have been, I would think.
Do we have a height advantage basically everywhere, but let's say it's just Kamwa as our big and they've got Rosado. Would we have the height advantage everywhere?
How tall is Kamwa?
6'8".
I think we're going to have the height advantage literally everywhere unless Kamwa is guarding Golden.
Yeah.
That's it. And that's not going to matter. He can guard Golden fine. Golden's not a big scorer.
Right. So if we pull Golden out to get him away from the rim, which is weird because that's one of the things that
they like to do.
May said he doesn't like to do is he likes Golden near the rim, right. So they don't have to help.
Exactly.
But if we pull him out of the paint, or if he stays down there and Kumwah just buries threes,
right?
Seems like it might be an opportunity for. I don't know. Feels like Phillips might be the guy who can attack.
Phillips could, yeah. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that was exactly what I think. Either Kumwah or Phillips will have a big game. So they're either going to back off of Kumwah and not respect his three, and he's going to, you know, I think he's kind of feeling his stride on that.
Yep.
I mean, I trust him taking hell 6-7 threes a game, don't you?
I'd want to see the first three before I allow him to shoot the second three or.
He really only takes it when he's wide open.
Yeah, no, he doesn't take contested threes unless it's late in the game, we're down, or late in the shot clock type thing.
Yeah, but they'll have to and this all hinges on obviously if he's making them. But if he hits his first one, maybe his second one, they're going to have to come out on him. They're going to have to guard him. That's going to open up the lane big time. So you'll get some. You know, I just think it helps the whole game because that's going to help you penetrate better. It's going to help you dish out faster. It'll open up Muscovy and some of those guys easier. You know, the better we can spread it out. What I don't see anymore is, you guys see any more double screens in the game as much as you used to?
No, you see a lot of stagger, but not double.
Yeah.
Is that what you mean? Like two guys literally standing side by side?
Yeah, two guys to open up, which seems to work better if you're on a switch screen. Like if they're going to switch off, if this team's playing a switch screen, which they're going to switch off on every screen, that double screen tends to confuse the defense a little bit and keep the guy open for a shot, like a Muscovy or somebody.
Have we run a double screen all year? I don't remember one.
I don't think we have. We might have ran one like early on I saw because it always looks weird because you don't see it that much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And most teams don't – well, I don't say most. I mean, it seems like you don't see a lot of teams switch anymore, at least from what I see. Most teams just – if it's man, you know. But so I guess if you're a smaller team, you tend to switch more. But the only thing I can think these guys rebound so well on defense is, or get more rebounds, is just, well, I was thinking offense because they're jacking threes. But you were saying earlier it's their defensive rebounding, right?
Yeah, their defensive rebound, what did you say, is like 24th or something?
Something like that.
That is weird for as small as they are. I don't know.
Well, but as Nate said, they're going up against mostly smaller teams too. So if all things are equal and you're out hustling the other team, they don't have the advantage, but we're going to have height and weight.
They might be a little smaller than some of the teams they play, but not
like
tonight.
They only out-rebounded FDU by one, and I think FDU is a lot smaller than even they are.
Yeah, that's crazy because FDU also missed like 9 layups.
47-46 or something like that rebounding game.
Well, I don't know how this game's going to go. I feel pretty good about it. I just have that feeling that the refs are going to call a tight one. There's going to be a lot of fouls just based on, you know, the last week and all the, you know, all the air surrounding Tennessee with being as physical as we are. So they might try to set the tone early.
Well, that's why I think it's important in this game. Now that there is – and I don't know how much these refs are going to have, you know, read the papers and watched the commentators all across the country saying, oh, Tennessee's dirty and physical. But I do think it's important tonight to come out with – at least the understanding that might be the case. Like this, I think Tennessee needs to be careful early and then kind of slowly ramp up the physicality as the game goes, kind of opposite what you did with Duke where you came out and just banged them around early.
And
you kind of set the tone. But then after those first couple plays on Filipowski, like it was still a physical game, but it wasn't there was nothing that could be considered a foul that wasn't.
Plus it started, right?
Yes.
So will he start tonight, or would you recommend that?
Nate says no, and
I don't think so either.
I think it just kind of depends on, like, this is what's weird. Like, I don't know if FAU would want to adjust to us or if we would want to adjust to FAU, or we both just start who we start and say, well, let's see which starting lineup has the advantage. I mean, there's a chance if we start Kumwah and Plavsic that they have no answer for one or the other in the post, and we're just killing them down low and on the glass. And then they may want to adjust, or they come out, they're running up and down the floor, they're hitting threes, and we've got to get, you know, some smaller, faster players in there.
Yeah,
that's going to be a good chess move early.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch. I like playing if we can coach it right and they're switching on screens, we can get some good mismatches in there. I mean, you can get Vescovi playing against if you set it up right, you can play where Vescovi would come off a screen, throw the ball to him, depending on who that screen was, and get a good mismatch with Vescovi, get him on a slower guy, or say their weakest defender, and see if he can get hot early. You know,
yeah,
but. Whether they do that or not, it's going to be weird. It's going to be fun to see, and I just got a feeling we're going to be in the Elite Eight talking about, you know, a big dub Monday.
I hope you're right. Mm-hmm. That would be elite.
It would. See you guys.
Thanks. See what I did there? Calling it it'd be elite.
I did.
Play Saturday,
I did.
Because we'd be in the Elite Eight.
Yep, I actually caught that reference. So.
The problem with Vescovi, and it's actually amazing what he's done so far in this tournament, because I say this not in a negative way, like the book's out. Like people know, hey, this guy's a problem. Glue yourself to him at all times, and he's still able to create and get shots just by how hard he works.
Yep.
I mean, telling you, he shoots better on a step back or like when he's kind of fading to his left than he does if he's just set.
Or that little pump fake.
So there's
something about the pump fake sidestep where it's almost like he just gets this confidence of like, I got that guy. And then it's always in. It's kind of weird. Sometimes we'll get a weird rebound and a kick out and he's wide open and it's almost like a set shot. And he had one of those against Duke that you thought was a layup and he missed it. But then he hits the double crossover step back fadeaway over Proctor and you're just like, well, okay. It's from almost the exact same spot on the floor, too, both those shots.
All phone calls are brought to you on the Big Orange Philly phone line. Check out Big Orange Phillies in Halls.
Great
spot
tater
to watch
tots.
The game. Yep, great tater tots. Maynardville Pike in Halls. It's Big Orange Phillies. If you want to weigh in, 865-546-8200. All right, you're right.
They're so crunchy.
Another few weeks. Stick with us right here on Fan on Radio. Sing it, Chris. Sing it.
It's so sweet.
You should have been on the mic instead of the drums. Might have been a star.
Might have been. Thank you. That was so kind.
Well, you're kind of semi-star right now, you know.
I'm going to throw something at you.
I'm three and out.
You need to wake up.
No Bassmaster Classic today?
No, it starts tomorrow.
Huh. Talking to a guy last night, he's fired up.
This is a big week.
Is there a show tonight? Start tonight down there?
Mm-mm. The convention starts tomorrow at noon.
Oh, that's what he was complaining. He's like, I couldn't get off work Friday, but I'm going to the show Friday night.
Oh.
It'll be at Blast Off Saturday off Sunday morning.
Even if you don't like fishing, you should go check out the convention center this weekend because if you, like upstairs is all vendors, you know, and it's cool. Like there's fishing booths and like, oh, this rod company, this reel company, like Yeti and all that. Then you go downstairs and it's like, it looks like something you'd see at an NCAA tournament or a Super Bowl. They got Toyota trucks everywhere. I mean, it's really cool. Big TV stage for, it's pretty neat.
I think I'd rather watch the Lady Vols in their tournament game.
I think you need to shut
the hell fishing
up.
Stuff will be done by 6:30, right?
What?
It's all like the fishing part of it by Saturday.
Oh yeah, I think they weigh in at like 3:30 every day. Maybe 4. I'm not sure. It depends on what time they blast
off.
It's
pretty early,
huh? Usually it's like between 7 and 8 hours of fishing each day.
Time they blast off in the morning.
Safe flight. Actually, maybe a little later.
Oh, what time is that? I don't know. What's safe flight? I don't.
We're not in the brotherhood like you,
yeah,
Chris. We don't
just
know.
Throw out a ballpark.
Sunrise time. So
what
7.
What time is sunrise?
I don't know. Like 7:15.
Knoxville, Tennessee. 7:35.
So they might go off a little bit before that, but then it depends. This time of year, you get some fog.
This morning it's foggy.
Yeah, it starts to come up a little bit when I drive in now.
These guys are pros, and they're not launching until 7:30.
They're done at 3. I mean,
what do you mean?
Oh,
it doesn't matter if you're a pro or not.
These guys on load management or something? Like, what in the world?
What are you talking about? What do you want? They don't want people to hit a log floating in the middle of the channel because it's dark.
If you're not on the water before sunrise.
They are on the water. They're waiting to blast off.
They have like a countdown or something, I bet.
Yeah, these guys are frauds.
It's a race, man. That's why you got to have, frauds? Why you gotta have a big motor, right? I mean,
250, 300. Actually, I don't think they allow 300s in the Elite Series. What do you? You're an idiot. You don't.
What?
You have no idea what you're talking about. These guys are frauds. Only
I've
the best
been,
anglers
I've
in
been
the world.
Fishing before, Chris.
Like once, bobber fishing from the dock. Like that doesn't count. You're a dope. Also, the Major League Fishing Tour's in town. They're up at Cherokee Lake. They were at Douglas earlier in the week. I mean, literally, the best fishermen in the entire world are in the greater Knoxville area.
Hope they save some ladies for the rest of us. Jeez.
You should go look at the Dinner of Champions pictures from last night and tell me if these guys have trouble pulling.
They do a Dinner of Champions for the – so they're copying the Masters is what they're doing.
It's a dinner for every
fish, right?
It's a dinner for everyone in the tournament, and it's like a – you know, it's a black tie type thing.
Wow.
Well, it's a suit type. It's a dress-up type thing.
Where
not
do they
everyone
have it?
What's that place in World's Fair Park, the brick building in the back towards the interstate. Brick building. I had my, like...
They even have the betting favorites on this website.
The interstate?
Huh? Like by the old rail station? It's an event center. It's like right there.
Oh, the Orangery? No, that's different.
No, it used to be back there, though.
Yeah.
The Foundry?
Foundry.
Is that the Foundry?
I think that is.
Off Kingston Pike?
No.
No,
not off Kings Pike. Not the Orangery, the Foundry.
It's like backs up
the
to Broadway.
Off Kings and Pike.
Yeah,
I think it is the Foundry.
Foundry.
Yeah.
Down from the L&N. Kind of
yeah. Yes,
those.
Yes. It's right there.
You got a link to this dinner I can go look at and rate their wives?
Bassmaster.com. Thank you.
Bassmaster.
Should do the whole show like that. That should be a
Brandon,
survivor punishment.
How do you say his last name?
You have to do the show like this.
Palahniuk? Is that his name?
Palahniuk.
Palahniuk. He's the betting favorite.
Really?
3-1.
You probably know more than Vegas on this. You should really get in.
And then Brandon Lester.
Local guy, yeah.
Fayetteville, Tennessee, 4-1.
It's a really interesting time for this tournament to take place.
Who's also 4-1. Gustafson?
Yeah, Gustafson. He won it here the last time they were in town. But that was in early March, late February. This is a very – it's going to be a very, very different tournament this time around.
The website leaves a little to be desired, but...
Hickman, just turn your mic off and shut it. We got a big basketball game tonight. We'll worry about the Bassmaster Classic tomorrow. I'll give you the full breakdown of the field. We can play Masters or Bassmaster with Hickman.
Mm-hmm. Be fun.
No, I'm just kidding. We won't do that again. I did not get good reviews the first time.
Really?
It was pretty funny for a minute, but, you know... One in Stripes was very disappointed to learn that the Bassmaster betting favorites were not on FanDuel.
Sad.
Too bad you can't gamble on that kind of stuff.
I found it on the pretty good website, Bassmaster.com.
Hear that, Hickman?
It's got a tournament countdown. I mean, it's good.
It's the biggest tournament of the year.
11 hours and 33 minutes.
It really is. This is. I mean, it's the classic. This is the Masters. This is the Masters of Bassmaster.
Okay.
I'm still not finding a photo gallery for this dinner.
Who cares?
Just maybe check Facebook.
Check MySpace. They have a good MySpace page. Maybe you had to be there. Sorry, continue.
I think this FAU team's just lucky. I mean, this guy wasn't even any good until this year.
Yeah, they were. I did see they are. Oh, let me find the stat.
He's the Mike White.
They're 10-1.
Conference USA.
10-1 in games decided by 5 points or less.
Yeah.
Got to have a little luck. Also, they were
the Minnesota Vikings.
They were 0-8 in those games last year. So it's like they had no luck last year, and they're having a ton of luck this year.
They got bounced in the CBI first round, the tournament you pay to play in.
Yee. Last year?
Yeah.
Well, that'll do it. You'll be interested to know, Nate, that in the East region, Tennessee is the only team remaining that has actually shot better from three in the tournament than they did in the regular season.
Okay. Bright lights getting to the other teams.
Tennessee shot 32.9% during the regular season from three, but they are 35.1% so far in the NCAA tournament. FAU has dropped from 37.2% to 28.8%. Kansas State, get this, has dropped from 34% to 25% from three.
They hit a bunch of big ones against Kentucky, though.
And the biggest drop so far, Michigan State in the regular season as a team shot 39.5% from three. Do you want to know what they're down to in the tournament?
What's that?
Well, think Kansas State went 34 to 25%.
Okay.
Michigan State was 39.5% in the regular season.
23.2%.
Nailed it. That is like a 40% decrease. Mm-hmm. Not in percentage points, but in, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, I got you.
How about that, Hickman?
Yep.
Good stuff. Dynamite drop in.
That is wild. That is really wild. You think it's just because defenses are better, because, or is it because teams play harder on defense, or is it the nerves of the tournament?
I was going to say, I think a lot of it has to do with nerves. As much as I don't like the excuse, I do 100% agree with Mark Few that even if you've used a Wilson ball all season, the brand new ball in the tournament, especially – I mean, this is why coaches – I'm really surprised to hear that. If I'm Mark Few – like, you're at Gonzaga. If you tell your director of basketball ops, hey, I need two brand-new racks of Wilson balls every March, you're going to get that. They're going to give you – hell, Wilson probably give them to you for free. Just, oh, yeah, here they are. Good luck in the tournament. Mm-hmm. So to say the balls are too new and too slick, like, that's – I don't know if I buy that. Now, my question is this. I would imagine the balls they used for the first round and the 32 games, they just take those to the next sites? Or does Madison Square Garden get a brand new triple rack of Wilson? I mean, it just seems like a lot of basketballs, you know?
Right. Yeah.
I wonder if there is something to it being overinflated.
Maybe.
It is a big year for inflation.
Get Tom Brady to check those out.
That was debunked.
Yeah, it was just really cold.
I mean, a sixth grade science fair experiment could prove that that was just crap by the NFL. That's why they hid the results.
Didn't he get suspended four games?
Yeah, before the results were made public. Because the NFL hid the results. Because the NFL is a bunch of idiots.
Well, if they hid the results but knew the results, then why did they suspend him?
Because they didn't want to look like idiots.
Why did he destroy his phone?
Because he can do whatever the hell he wants to, Chris. He's Tom Brady.
So he just decided, yep, they want my phone. Nope.
I'll send you the article that goes into the science.
I don't need the sixth grade science fair article that you're using as facts for someone sticking a needle in a ball and it becoming a little bit more deflated. Okay?
It was debunked.
By a sixth grader.
This is from CBS Sports. NFL Deflategate revelations paint the NFL in a bad light because they lied.
All right.
Let's hit a break.
Yeah, let's.
We'll be back. Three and out.
Southland band playing Rocky Top. Smokey leading our boys out through the tee. Makes a hair on the back of my neck stand up. They hit the field line up for the kickoff. It's football time in Tennessee.
What are you playing football songs for?
Because spring practice.
Spring practice, baby. Let's go.
That, and I wanted to kind of get some Tennessee vibes in here.
Uh-huh. I hear you.
And Vault Up, that song really annoys me.
What? By Universal King? That song's great.
No, it's not.
You got to play it for the listener.
Yeah, what are you doing? Vault Up gets us hype.
Yeah. Jason's going to sing it for us if you don't play it.
Turn the volume up. Turn the volume up. Turn the volume up.
Hang around it later.
Such a good song. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming we're wearing the cream uniforms tonight.
I think we're rolling those as long as we can.
Is that the biggest fear if Kansas State wins that we won't get to wear them against?
I don't know.
They might want to wear their purple. Their lavender.
I doubt it.
They might.
They've been wearing white. They've been winning. Probably stick with the white.
They might know we're good in these jerseys too. Be like, we can't let them.
Yeah, that's a good point. We should have done a Vols script orange. That would have been nice if Nike could have sent us some of those for the tournament.
Maybe they have them. Put a call. Maybe they just came in.
I don't even think we got new shoes for the tournament.
We've been wearing the good shoes, though.
The good shoes.
That's what you said. No, that's what Billy said. It was a tweet. I couldn't remember who said it.
We have good shoes? Josiah's wearing those same ugly black Nikes he's had on.
He was warming up in before the last game. Billy Stout's like, these are the shoes that Mayshak and Vescovy shoot the best in. He has the shoe data.
I honestly, like, it's kind of like, I think Julian Phillips, when he wears the orange shoes, like, they're mostly orange. They have, like, orange. They make his feet look 8 feet long.
Yeah.
Like, maybe they're too big. Vescovy went with the white and black Nikes. I thought they looked pretty good. Kumwa went orange shoes against Duke. Had the game of his life. I'd bust those out again. Who has the best shoes? I don't know. Mayshak always looks fast in his shoes. Maybe it's just because he's fast.
Probably. He's probably always fast, no matter the shoes. Speed travels.
But you look fast.
Okay.
White shoes make you look fast.
Okay.
Orange shoes, I don't know. Depends.
Black shoes?
Slow. Just slow. Mm. Especially with white socks.
Outside of our game tonight, what game are you most looking forward to?
My nap during all the other games so I can be...
Okay, you are a... You cannot
Gonzaga,
nap.
UCLA, and if it ain't that one, you got problems.
Yeah. I mean, I think Kansas State's probably the most fun team
problem is
to watch.
Yeah, I'm not during ours and
if
after.
If we win, though, you're going to stay
up. Yeah, that's true. Oh, yeah. If we win, I'll be up until, who knows.
7 a.m.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to watch Michigan State, Kansas State, right?
Oh, that's a very close second to me. And if it... But
it's also the first game, so you're...
I mean,
you're guaranteed 45 minutes of that one.
I'll be watching them all. I mean.
Guaranteed probably the first half of that one. That's a good scouting opportunity.
We're rolling two TVs in the Hodges household.
Yeah, for real.
You know?
You guys surprised that Michigan State's favored?
I am. I figured it'd be a pick 'em.
What is it, 2 points?
1.5.
Okay.
Yeah.
I saw a writer for, I don't know who it was, saying they're surprised the Tennessee line isn't more. Like, it stayed so low, and then they picked us to win by 9.
The biggest I've seen us pick to win by so far is 10.
Who was that?
I can't remember. It was one of the CBS panels. No, I'm sorry. It was the ESPN panel. Might have been Myron Metcalf had us by 10, and the other two guys had us winning by 5. They're just going KenPom numbers, I'm sure. So... I don't know. Like, I feel like we might blast them. Might. I said might. I don't know.
I don't think so.
You don't?
I mean, we could. We've done that a few times this season in some SEC games even that were we thought might be close.
Right.
Sometimes these games are really weird. You just never know. We might win 50-30, you know? Sometimes neither team can shoot. Remember that was that national champion? Was it UConn and Butler in the Natty? It was like 48, 35 or something. Crazy. It wasn't quite
Norlander,
that bad.
Norlander, CBS has picked FAU.
Of course he has.
Yeah, that guy's an idiot.
He is in the East. I'm going with the 33-win team that's ranked top 30 in metrics much of the season, has the deepest bench and most collective experience playing together as a team. FAU, let's go.
What? We've got like five-year guys. Yeah. How do they have more experience playing together? I'll give them the 33 wins. Like that, it's impressive what they've done for sure. But come on, I don't know if I buy that. What? Do they really have more experience playing together than this team?
I don't see how.
I mean, maybe when you add Phillips because he's freshman, but still.
Hang on. Let me get you some data here.
I love data. Big data guy.
John L. Davis is a sophomore. Get out of here. That guy's just blatantly wrong. Golden's a sophomore, and he played Texas Tech for a year already.
Oh, the most experienced.
Boyd's a freshman.
Okay, we're done here. Yep.
Yeah.
The other article said it's amazing they look like they've been playing together so long because they haven't. Like,
right.
This guy's a moron.
Vescovy,
take away his credentials.
Vescovy, Plovsic, and James have 4 years together.
And Gaffney transferred from UConn. He's a junior.
Okay.
Well, there's only one senior in the daggum rotation.
So the one guy that's picked FAU to win is basing that on a lie.
Yeah.
And
cool.
It seems like none of these CBS guys even.
Tweet his ass!
None of the CBS guys really have us even coming out of the region.
Well, none of those guys had us coming out of round one.
One
so.
Guy's Kansas State winning it all.
I mean,
they've been good. It does feel. Doesn't it feel the most wide open ever for the who's going to win the championship?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people outside of the SEC would say, oh, Bama, they're just a juggernaut. But I don't. I feel like they're very susceptible.
Jerry Palm that has Kansas State.
Jerry Palm.
What happened to him? He really fell off once KenPom came around.
I mean, I think the West
says they have arguably the best 1-2 punch in the tournament so far, and certainly in this region.
I don't disagree with that.
Well, I mean, they're the best seed in the region. I mean, it's not crazy to say they're going to win the region, but I think the team that comes out of the West is going to be playing the best basketball, just because that's brutal. Arkansas, UConn, Gonzaga, and UCLA, like all those teams can play. You're not gonna. I mean, Alabama might catch San Diego State on a night where they can't shoot, and Alabama's another cake game, and then. Then they're playing, what, Princeton or Creighton. I mean, those aren't juggernauts.
That is crazy how it could really – I mean, that might be a good thing, though. They just kind of coast through, get to the Final Four, and then here we are.
We beat them, yeah.
Hey, rematch. They think they're playing great. We lock them down,
and
get another dub.
So you don't think Houston and
– Yeah, Houston and Miami, and then Xavier, Texas. So you got 1-5, 3-2.
Those teams are pretty good outside of Miami.
Houston versus Texas will be a fun one. That'd be an interesting
one. I haven't watched Xavier at all. I need to watch them. We'll come back. Final segment, hour two next. Final segment, hour number two.
The boats are on the water.
But this isn't the bad. This isn't even the same league.
This is a tune-up on a different lake.
Different dudes, though, isn't it?
I know, but it's East Tennessee, and you got to rep.
This is like you're excited for opening day of Major League Baseball.
No, this
and
is like
you're watching the Japanese league.
No, this is like live golf.
Exactly. No,
a more successful live golf that actually took half of the grade.
Don't wait on live golf, man. It's coming, dude.
I don't disagree.
Do you have one of those fishing jerseys these guys all wear?
Yeah, you have a fishing jersey.
I have a fishing jersey? I've got
like
a couple.
Nate walked in with.
I got a hoodie and a jersey and
a couple hats,
couple little like sun shirts.
The jerseys are the coolest part about fishing.
Oh, you like the jerseys?
Yeah,
and stuff?
They're pretty nice. Yeah. I would actually wear one.
Really? No, you wouldn't.
They look pretty comfy. They just kind of lounge around in.
They are comfortable. I mean, they're by design. Super cooling long sleeve.
Waterproof.
Nah, most of them aren't.
No, that's what you got to have, the outer layers.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like weather is everything in fishing.
Yeah. Pretty much everything.
Mm-hmm.
Barometric pressure, sun, clouds, wind. Wind is the most important
thing.
You got
to be a scientist.
Wind is the most important thing. Wind.
Why?
Because it breaks the surface tension of the water, it creates sound so they can't hear the boat and the lure, and moves the bait fish and the.
But it can't be like
you don't. Yeah. You don't want.
They don't want to eat. They're like, I'm just gonna go hang out and be safe today.
Yeah, they don't want it blowing 30.
Yeah,
but a nice breeze, good ripple on the water.
These guys are solo in their boats, right? Or they have.
Well, they got like a cameraman,
so they don't cheat. Because fishmen are the worst cheaters on the planet.
They all have a marshal,
freaking liars.
And I think they do eight camera camera boats. And then if one guy's catching them that doesn't have a camera boat, a boat will come pick up a camera guy from a guy who's not catching them, and then they'll take him to the guy who's catching them.
That's going
to
be a bad feeling. Man, it's such a rough day. They just took the camera
off me.
Hey,
we're coming to get your guy.
Well, because a lot of times those guys will be like, oh, man, maybe I'm doing pretty good. Like, you caught one or two. It's like, oh, it must be a tough morning for everybody. And they're like, hey, Todd, we got to take your cameraman.
Yeah.
Ott's catching him up
Ott's
in the river.
Ott's already caught seven, and he's culling his five, right? Yeah. I mean, doesn't that how it happened?
So in the Classic, you don't get any information. You're not supposed to. Okay. And one year, this guy named Jason Christie, who actually won the Classic last year, this dude on the bank's like, hey, did you hear what Edwin's doing? And he's like, what? He's like, he's got 27 pounds up in the river. The guy was leading going into the day, and then he like mentally spazzed out the rest of the day. Didn't catch another fish, and he ended up losing the Classic on the last day to the hometown hero.
Well, good job by the
sounds
dude
like
on
the guy in half dude on the more.
Dude on the bank.
Afterwards, he was like, he's like, it might not have mattered, but when that dude told me what was going on, I lost my mind.
Sounds like the guy in Happy Gilmore.
So is he not supposed to do that?
Shooter's going
to
choke.
Or does it? Is that just that's just part of it?
That's part of it. But
the crowd
not,
can do whatever.
Yeah, they're not allowed to look at their phone and see like what everybody's doing and
watch
the
video.
Yeah. You can't do that. Can't do that.
How close can they get? Like, let's say two of the local guys tomorrow just coincidentally are both like, I know the spot.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in boats four and five. And
yep.
So four takes off and five takes off, and they start heading the same direction. They're like, yeah, we're probably going different places. And then it's kind of like when you're behind somebody and you're like, oh, crap, this person is my neighbor and I've been tailgating. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You're just going the same spot. And takes a big left bend and you're just right on his ass.
I have literally seen boats side by side touching, making
the run.
Especially when they're like schooled up offshore and there's like a brush pile and you have to make this one certain cast, and they'll just basically trade off like cast. You know, retrieve. Yeah.
So you can be that tight.
It's a gentleman's thing. Like, if you both found the same thing and it's not just, I followed you here, I want to do what you're doing.
Right.
You know, if he says, what are you here to fish? And they're like, that brush pile down there. It's like, well, okay, you did find the brush pile with all the fish on it. We'll just share it. And sometimes that works. And then there are some guys who are like, I'm running 80 miles the other way because I don't want anybody around me. I want to fish completely by myself.
Yeah. Hmm. All right.
So strategy.
Strategy.
I want to go around during one of these big tournaments and just absolutely just cause chaos. Just be out there, just wakeboard.
Jet ski. Well, that's why they do the Classic. It used to be in the summer.
Okay.
And that was actually a really big problem, like party boats, pontoons, and all that, because the fish are usually out in the main lake offshore. So they've moved it to the spring because there's far fewer pontoons.
Put
and
your wetsuit on.
Hey, I'm snorkeling here.
Just be slaloming around the.
I mean,
oh, that's wake surf. I'll really enjoy that.
You wake, joke about that, like
when that wake comes.
I've had plenty of dudes fall. They fall in because they don't see it coming from behind, and they get rocked and thrown forward. Serious, you know. Mm. Wear a life jacket, folks, for safety.
Mm-hmm. How many guys fish this tournament?
55. It's a super small field. It takes
oh,
a
really?
Yeah,
what's
like
a big field.
Like, oh gosh,
100.
I think Elite Series is. I want to say about 100.
Okay.
I mean, there's local tournaments like trails around here that'll have. I mean, you can have 200 boats.
Really?
200.
And how many miles is the range of fishing on something with 200 boats?
What do you mean? Like, how far can they go?
Yeah,
as far as they want.
Okay.
They on this tournament, they can fish any of Loudoun and any of Teleco. They can't lock down and fish Watts Bar.
Gotcha.
Some tournaments will let you do that. I mean, it's literally you can go as far as you can in a day.
Get back to weigh in.
They fish, I think it's the Red River in Texas. Like, there's guys that'll run 120, 40 miles one way, and they got to stop and get gas at like a dock. And so they'll run for 3 hours, fish for two, and then have to drive 3 hours back. Jeez. It's insane.
Yeah, you better have the spot. Then.
Yeah, they better be there after that.
I think the more time you actually spend fishing would be a little bit more beneficial than just traveling out of your way to go find a secret spot.
It really just depends. Like, if you find something truly magical and it's that far away and you think you're going to have it to yourself, then you know, I mean, you're fishing for $100,000. Like, I'm with you. I get it. Like, I would much rather fish longer than just be driving. But, I mean, it's worked for some guys at times.
I guess we're just more of a traditionalist, you know, Chris?
Yep.
We're old school when it comes to our fishing strategy.
Of course, when these boats will do, you know, 75, some guys just like driving, I think.
I would sign up to be a pilot for somebody.
Pilot?
Yeah.
What, like a driver? Like,
yeah,
a captain?
Captain, I guess, since we're talking boat, but
you know,
I think the rule is you have to drive your own boat.
Yeah, that's kind of stupid, though. I mean, well, I guess it makes sense. I mean, if you're sitting there riding for an hour, I guess you got time to, like, prep and do all this other nonsense, but
yeah.
You don't be a captain for somebody, though.
You should try it.
Would you do it for Chris?
I'd do it for Chris.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Captain Hickman.
I know all the secret spots out on Douglas, Chris.
You don't.
Okay.
All of them?
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Sorry, Wonder Stripes is sending me all the places where these guys will do crazy stuff.
Yeah, the Red River, they'll run to it.
He said in Georgetown, Venice, South Carolina, they'll go all the way out into the Intercoastal Waterway and get back
to
the
river.
Oh, yeah.
One of the commentators for the Classic, his name's Davey Height. He's from South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And he was making his run back through, I forget the name of the river / bay, and he mistimed the tide.
Yeah.
And his boat got stuck. And he was literally on dry land for 8 hours until the tide came back in. He got DQ'd, obviously. He didn't make it back to weigh in because you can't run 70 miles an hour through mud.
Yeah, that'd be kind of a problem.
Just thought you should know.
It's in Charleston, I think that Ashley River, maybe. I don't know.
Is it tidal? Look
that up.
Is it tidal?
Yeah.
Like it raises and drops, like the river does a lot? Yeah. Could have been. It was a pretty fun. I think he had a camera guy with him. He's like, well, we're going to be here a little bit. Because, I mean, it's not like a boat can come get you. You're literally sitting
in
a bay of mud.
Hmm.
And he, of course, tried to get out when the water was still dropping and push it. And so he was just caked in mud.
Could have been the Cooper River.
I'll have to ask.
Yeah.
Did they, I mean, so he just sat there for 8 hours?
I think so. I mean,
surely they send somebody like to try and get as close to getting.
What do you
as
send?
No?
You can't send a truck. It's just a mud bay.
Well, at that point, then you run into some serious health risk, you know? If you're out there for 8 hours, you get dehydrated.
I'll have to go back. I'll find that article during the break because I can't remember.
That happened to us in kayaks one time on a guided tour.
Oh, God.
And we had to get out and walk through the mud and like ended up with like our legs cut up from all the, you know, the shells in the bay or whatever you want to call it. That mud stuff's nasty. Would have been it's Georgetown. Holy cow, that's crazy.
So he got stuck at 20 minutes until dead tide, and then it would start rising again. So he missed weigh-in by 2.5 hours. No, 3.5 hours.
Would have been the Waccamaw River then, if we're talking about Georgetown.
Hey, I've kayaked that river before.
In Winyah Bay.
Nope, that was it, Winyah Bay.
A lot of gators on the Waccamaw.
That's it?
That was the tournament. It was Winyah Bay.
Yep, got stuck. Sad.